Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast. You can find more helpful advice at focusonthefamily.com/parentingpodcast.
Oh, you want to know about exhaustion? Have a child. For the first time, we walked in the front door with our firstborn child. Ever since that day, I have not slept well. And interestingly, that kid is now 30-ish, and he's having sleep issues. And I'm not, like, rejoicing, but I said, I kind of get that. I've been spending a lot of my life exhausted. And if you're a single parent, you are certainly understanding what I'm talking about. In a conversation Focus President Jim Daly and I had with Drs. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, they shared how crucial it is for parents to find support and resources to help you deal with the pressures and the exhaustions of parenting.
You know, one of the big challenges, and I'm thinking of you, that mom who's exhausted. I mean, she is working outside the home. She's coming home. She's trying to get a meal on the table. She's on them about getting their homework done. The kids may be not listening to them or ignoring her. And she's frustrated, and she's worn out. Speak to her heart about some simple steps, again, that she might take. How do you keep those priorities right when you're utterly tapped out?
Well, I think the first step, and it is the most important one, is God's design for everything, is that her first step is not with her kids. Her first step is to get plugged in to the support and the resources of some other moms that are going to do a couple of things for her. They're going to help normalize for her, you know, when she's saying no and this, that, and the other, and she's getting hated and all that, and to be able to stick with it. They're going to normalize that. They're also going to support her, but they're going to stand with her and give her the courage to do that. So parenting should never be done alone. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a single parent, you really do have to have that friend that you can call in those moments, or that support group, or whatever it is. Then after that, then you get to the steps with the kid.
And even in that regard, whether you're a two-parent household or a single-parent household, oftentimes, you know, dad in a lot of this is disconnected. That's not right. But oftentimes the fathers are. We get a lot of emails and correspondence here at Focus where that's the case. Dads need to engage as well.
Right. And John said something really important earlier. You were talking about the steps with the mom at the end of the day and this, that, and the other. You know, in those moments, that's never when you win. Because if you don't have it set up before then, if we don't know what the rules are, and you don't have, depending on the age, you don't have the little charts, or you don't have the consequences, or you don't have something to appeal to in that moment, then you're really flying by the seat of your pants, and that's when things get out of hand.
And kids know that, too.
Oh, they are the best at that.
More from John and Henry as they responded to a question that I asked about enforcing limits and boundaries with really young children, say a toddler, so that the preteen years and beyond go more smoothly.
Well, as a toddler, the first thing is safety first, you know, because they're walking around banging their heads on coffee tables and that sort of thing. You sort of have to protect them from themselves. So there's the no, you know. When you go over here and you touch that, that's a no. There are certain sharp things that you shouldn't be touching and that sort of thing. So with a 15-month-old, the big thing is that after you hear the safety stuff is that you begin to understand that when mom or dad say the word no, you stop what you're doing. And once you've done that, you've won half the game, because then when they hear you as they, I don't know, bonk little sister on the head or whatever, you say no enough and they'll begin to take that no inside. That's how they get the rules, because 15-month-olds are sort of verbal, but not really super verbal yet. So it's more of hearing you say it and looking around the house as to what's safe and healthy enough.
And they begin, it's interesting at that point, they'll start over a short period of time, they'll start telling you as the parent, that's a no.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
They do get it.
They're learning about life.
Yeah, they're exploring.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you just can't, I don't think you can underestimate how powerful these little timeouts are. You know, if they learn very early that if I do that, I got to go sit in a place I don't want to sit in where there's nothing fun, then they learn pretty quickly, you know, I better not do that.
I think Drs. Cloud and Townsend are some superb radio guests, and they really have some great insights. They're a big fan of timeouts, and Danny, you've mentioned before that timeouts aren't just for kids. Sometimes we parents need that too, right?
Oh, yes. Timeouts are critical. And This is about self-regulation, and we've talked about this, right? Regulating and handling, managing that emotional world that can get out of whack pretty quickly. And for us parents, we're not immune to our emotions getting off track. And actually, stress creates bad parenting. It can create bad parenting.
Yes.
And that's when, as parents, we need to recognize when we're way off and take our time out for a few minutes, for a few moments. And if you have a spouse next to you, can say, "Hey, I need a sub," and then you,
I got to come out of the game.
You
got to
come
a bit.
Out for a little bit, yeah. And you know when that needs to happen. And as spouses, you can work together. But if it's a single parent, you can maybe say, "Hey, I need to go to the bathroom for a moment." Lock the door, take a few deep breaths. If you need to go to the bathroom, it's a good time to do it. Then right? Maybe you feel a lot better then.
Yeah.
But then come back to it and show that you've handled what's there, and then you're coming back into the game and looking at what the goal is. Mm. And the goal is not to control a child, but to teach a child. And it's not about you winning or losing. It's really all about connection and understanding one another. And that it takes your full emotional presence. So timeouts are good for both kids and parents.
And I talked about exhaustion at the beginning of the episode. That is, I think, when I do some of my worst parenting.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend on the phone just before coming here into the studio, and I said, "Yeah, I get stressed out." And she said, "I've never seen you stressed out." I said, "Well, you weren't around Friday when I was really stressed out and doing poorly as a parent. I was just, my kid was hitting my buttons and I was responding terribly. And I just thought, you know, I was exhausted. I needed sleep. And sometimes my timeout is overnight and it takes that much time for me to reset. But boy, mom and dad, if you are struggling, get the space, take the space, get centered, pray, and then come back to your kid and help them understand, this is what I had to do. I'm sorry. I don't like it when that happens, but it's much better now that I'm calm.
And John, this is going to be maybe a challenge to parents. Little homework.
Okay.
Really check in with your spouse or those around you if there's some constructive criticism that would be helpful for you.
Oh, now that's going too far. So thanks for joining us today for the Focus on the Family Parenting Pie. No, seriously, that's a good thing to do, but I have to be asking the question with an open heart, don't I?
With an open heart, definitely. That's a timeout. Going in, that can be your own timeout as well. Not necessarily in the moment,
yeah.
But timeout from parenting. Am I really open to constructive criticism? Am I handling my emotional world well?
Yeah.
How am I spilling out into my world as a parent?
This is where I'm grateful.
Those are good moments.
You know, I'm grateful to my wife for her input. I don't always like it at the time, but generally she's right when she says, you know, you might try doing this or maybe. And of course, you don't have those conversations in front of the kids. You do them behind closed doors or when the kids are asleep. But it's a team effort. And again, we are sensitive to a lot of single parents, moms and dads. We trust that you have a support team that's been around you as you've parented that can speak into your life. And if you don't have that, call us and let us pray with you about that. We'd like to support you in that. Well, Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend are renowned psychologists. They have really put forth this concept of boundaries and applied it in so many ways. Their book, Boundaries for Kids, is an excellent resource. So if you have children who are struggling with yeses and nos and fences and boundaries, give us a call. And if you can, when you request the book, make a donation to the Ministry of Focus on the Family, and the book will be our thank you gift. And I should mention that we do have a whole host of online resources, and we have an amazing team of Christian counselors. So if you're running into some real difficulties and you just need to talk to somebody and you're not sure who, if you don't have that support team I mentioned, or that spouse, then call us. We've got all the details in the episode notes. On behalf of Danny Huerta and the entire team here, I'm John Fuller, and thanks so much for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.